5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression after a week off. My name is Pierce, as always, joined by Rob and Chris. We're going to speed through this week in wrestling. We're going to try to stop in between at certain points where it applies and talk about current day stuff. But we got a pay-per-view coming up this weekend, Fastlane, the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. Tickets went on sale today. If you got yours, hopefully you're fully vaccinated. That means second week after the shot. Don't be fucking stupid. But you know, we'll talk about Fastlane. And then we also got 2 weeks in 2005 to catch up while we go down the road to WrestleMania 21. Well, let's talk about Fastlane. This is absolutely another pay-per-view where I don't know what the fuck's on the card, because who has time to watch Raw and SmackDown every week when you're working and slaving your ass off? But Fastlane is coming up March 21st. Are we in a championship match? No, we're not.
On SmackDown, not on Raw.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry. I was thinking about Raw, but I completely forgot about SmackDown because it's like, is it really a championship match? Is it really? But I guess we should start with that match. Roman Reigns is defending the Universal Championship against Daniel Bryan, the winner of the match on SmackDown Friday between Edge and Jey Uso will be the special guest enforcer. So I guess we're kind of picking for two matches here, even though, like, whatever for SmackDown. I think we know that Roman Reigns is winning. That's just me personally saying that because, like, the whole, like, the false belief that Daniel Bryan could be thrown into this match, I don't see it happening. In fact, I think it would be asinine to throw Daniel Bryan into this match.
Well, here's my only thing about that, though, is, I mean, you're, you know, a month out from WrestleMania. What do you do with him otherwise?
If they do a multi-man intercontinental title ladder match, you can throw him in right there. No one will bat an eye. He's Daniel Bryan.
Weren't we saying a couple days ago, what are they going to do with AJ Styles? And then boom, he's got a Raw tag team title match.
That's true. And I mean, to be entirely fair, I can say that about 80% of the roster right now, including people who were like as important recently as January.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair.
What the hell is Bayley doing at WrestleMania? Like, we really don't know what a lot of folks are doing.
And I don't know what Kevin Owens is doing.
Yeah.
Right.
He's kind of just spacing out. He just showed up and did the Kevin Owens show this past week.
Yeah.
Which is wild because he just went through a fucking 3-month program with Roman. You know, I don't want to say it's par for the course. Most times we get about a month away from WrestleMania and we really don't know what's going on, but they got two nights this year, and they've had time to prepare.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's no real excuse for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think maybe starting as soon as, you know, Friday on SmackDown, and then obviously next week we're going to get some matches added. But yeah, it's kind of strange. But no, I think as far as this one goes, Roman's going to win, and then Edge is probably going to win on SmackDown. I think they've done a good job having Edge also have reason to not want Bryan in the match.
Yeah.
And also have Bryan, you know,
that's why
not like Edge.
That's why I think that Edge is going to incidentally, quote unquote, cost Bryan the title. And then if Edge were to win, he's not going to. But if he were to win or lose, he has a ready-made feud with Bryan right after Mania.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say that'd Edge isn't going to win at WrestleMania?
I don't know if he's going to. I can see it, but I don't know.
The yeah. dumbest fucking decision WWE ever made if Edge doesn't win the championship at WrestleMania. I gotta say, get the fuck out of here on that one.
I'd be surprised.
Really?
Basically.
You think Edge isn't... That's surprising. I'm surprised you're saying that. I mean... Okay.
If they're gonna choose Roman Reigns over the best feel-good story that they've had in a really long time, they're fucking stupid.
I don't disagree, for the record. This is just something that I think they're doing.
Well, I guess the thing is, and I don't even know if Roman necessarily needs to lose yet, and we'll talk about this more next month, I think, but, you know, if he doesn't lose here, when's he going to lose? Who's he going to lose to? You know, that's the thing. I think Edge keeping Bryan out of the match is probably the move, and I think it's really smart having Edge return to SmackDown the first night of the NCAA tournament, because, you know, you get people to watch SmackDown instead of the tournament. It's good stuff.
But it's the go home show.
Well, that too.
It's not the night after. Normally it's the night at. Normally it's the same night as the national championship. This year they got a little bit of reprieve. So
that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think we all agree that Roman's gonna win that one.
Another dumb match that I don't see why it's on the card. Sasha and Bianca are challenging Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Why are we getting this match, what, a third time?
Yeah, no, there's no reason for this. This is stupid.
Why are we still going down the road? See, this is my thing. People, like, could not wait when there were only two matches on the WrestleMania card booked to say, oh, Bianca and Sasha are going to main event one of the nights. No, the fuck they were not. They were never main eventing any of those nights. And the way that they've drugged this fucking feud along for the last 2 months solidifies that. That's a Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler third match on night one type of match. And that's shot against the two women in it, because the two women in it are great. But, like, you should have... I don't understand why the fuck people ran with that shit. Oh, they're going to be in the main event. Because you're going to be let down on WrestleMania weekend when they are not the main event.
Yeah, no, I think at this point, you know, as of right now, I mean, they can heat Sasha and Bianca up a little bit in the next couple of weeks. But I think
possibly do? They have 2 weeks of television. And they're wasting one of the spots on a nonsense tag match for no reason.
But yeah, exactly. So I think it's going to be.
And you know what? Also, like, kind of, and I know that, you know, sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't. They just gave Sasha and Bianca this title match out of nowhere for no reason when they lost clean as a sheet the last time.
Yeah.
And that was announced before Naomi and Lana even had their title opportunity, which I knew was going to be on a random Raw during like the second or third hour, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And no. It's so predictable. This is so lame. This whole feud has been lame. Reginald's cool, but he doesn't need to be the focus of the feud. And it's just such a waste.
Well, he's also not that cool anymore.
Keep it honest with you, man. They're fighting over a 5'5" man, and I can say that.
Yeah,
5'7". That's not shit's not realistic, bro.
It's not.
Yeah, no. I mean, either Nia and Shayna retain, or they do something real dumb for no reason.
God, you imagine if they actually did something dumb for no reason and like threw the entire card into a flux?
I mean, I don't like the whole challengers teaming up for the tag title. It worked with Cena and Michaels, and that's about it.
Well, you know why it worked was because that had like never been done before, or if it had been done, it was, you know, something they just threw out every once in a blue moon.
Well, yeah.
This, if God forbid they were able to do this, this would be the third time since fucking last May or June or whatever the hell it was that they've had double champions.
Well, that's enough for me. And that's just with the women. I mean, they did it also last night on NXT. Yeah. They did it with Finn and Cross.
That was fine, because at least it gave Burch and Lorcan reps, because you know, Lord knows that they needed some.
It's fair.
But yeah, they're currently addicted to that.
But yeah, Nia and Shayna have to win, and then I don't have Sasha turn on Bianca. I don't know. Sasha's got to do something at some point to stand out and be a different character than she's been. Otherwise, this is going to continue to just be stuck in the mud.
And also, they need to just stop making it about Reginald. I get the nonsense or whatever, but it wouldn't just it wouldn't be such a problem if it wasn't the main emphasis on it.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about as frustrating as my life as a Chicago Bears fan. Let's move on. Talk about the Intercontinental Championship match. Big E is defending against Apollo Crews. I'm very interested in the match because while I, like I said, I haven't been watching TV on the weekly, I have been keeping up with Apollo's his trip back home to the motherland, let's just say. Getting back to his Nigerian roots, so much so, I'm pretty sure we're going to see his white wife looking like Zeke Njani's mom at WrestleMania if he does hold that championship belt. This is a toss-up to me because, like, while, yeah, going into WrestleMania as the Intercontinental Champ would be big for Big E, I could see Apollo walking in as Intercontinental Champ himself, and maybe E is doing something a little bit more meaningful. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know what the thing is, and we've talked about how I think we all think that the Intercontinental title is just going to be kind of this big multi-man match, so it doesn't really matter which of these two walk in with it, since they'll probably both be involved, you would have to assume. I mean, I think, you know, if you want to do a title change in your first pay-per-view on Peacock, this is probably the one to do it on. Yeah, I mean, I think you can continue the feud as well. It's been good. And yeah, I guess I'll go with Apollo.
I could see this going either way. There's precedent for doing a quick title change and then another quick title change at Mania. It happened only 2 years ago with Finn and Lashley.
Yeah.
I could say that Apollo could win, take the title into Mania, and then lose. But this is definitely going to be physical, especially if they keep up the intensity that they've had with each other the last few weeks. And I'm looking forward to this quite a lot.
Yeah, I think it could be really, really good. I'm going to go with Apollo as well. I feel like Apollo has really propelled himself within the last year because he got that opportunity because of COVID, and he ran with it. And he's done the best that he can with it. Now, like, we're finally getting to see what he is when he stops being the smiling white meat baby face, which is like all we knew about him coming out of NXT. He smiles a lot. He's got really nice white teeth. He can do some flips. He's very muscular and strong, but there's not a personality. And I say that, and of course, like, you can link that back to Big E when we're saying, like, yeah, he's got a lot of personality, but he has to get more serious. And people point out that promo a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, yeah, you're kind of proving me right, because he interjected some seriousness into who he is, and that's all you can be. You can't flip the actual character in his sense. You just have to add on to it with the layer of, yo, I'm here to get the fucking job done. I'm going to bulldoze through you to accomplish that, and that's what he was doing. So I feel with Apollo, him finally being able to have a personality, which any wrestler who was baby for a while and finally turned heel can tell you, the shackles are off and you can actually work and do things creative when you have that edge to you. And I think Apollo, I can't remember if I had said this on the pod already, but we've never had an African prince as a professional wrestling gimmick. I thought about that because I'm sitting back thinking, like, yo, how many pro wrestlers have Afri actually worn the garb of the homeland, came out, you know, it was about it? And there's only one person that comes to mind. That's Akeem. That's egregious. That's egregious. You have the fucking one man gang is the only dude to actually portray an African, a wealthy African king, prince, whatever. Like, you know, any fucking black kid can tell you, we had that conversation with our parents that, you know, yo, you come from a line of kings and queens. Well, Apollo's on TV doing that. And I think, you know, giving him a belt, even if it's for a short time, if they want to give it back to E or somebody else at WrestleMania, if he's a transitional IC champ, it's doing a lot for him, wonders on the heel side. So I will go with Apollo in this case. Big E can still win, and it's not going, I don't think this is an outcome that's going to really hurt anybody in a sense. They just got to go out there and have a really good match.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, I'm glad you bring up
opens the show too.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring up his gimmick because you know a lot of people have strong
takes.
A lot of people have had you know some strong takes on it, and I just you know it's I don't really have a take on it. I think it's cool. You know, it's not something that I should have a take on. I don't think you know I don't want to come off as kind of uninformed. There's reasoning behind everything he's doing, and it's been explained. And you know, I think some people that feel the need to comment on it probably shouldn't.
It's like me trying to say, "Yo, why are you doing that?" I know this is a very bad example because of all we know about Alberto Del Rio, but you know, it's like me coming out and saying, "Yo, why are they doing a Mexican aristocrat gimmick?" You know, that's racist to be portraying a rich, wealthy Mexican man. Like, Dave can go fuck himself. And the people that pay money to divulge themselves in his podcast and his information, and this is also going out to AEW because, you know, AEW has been one of the biggest supporters. Those who's been one of the biggest supporters of Dave Meltzer. You know, and they can't fucking lie and say that they have him because I've seen Dave at fucking All In and different shows where Kenny and the Bucks and Cody and those guys are affiliated. So, you know, anybody within the wrestling industry that still fucks with Dave Meltzer, you know who you are, like down on inside. And so, yeah, I thought that was ridiculous because it's, you know, It's like me turning around and saying, "Yo, Tetsuya Naito, why are you looking fly in all of these fits, my guy? You know, you're supposed to be out here in the ninja costume like fucking Akira Tozawa portraying, you know, stereotypes." And that's a whole nother story for another day, wrestling and just this fixation on stereotypes. But I'm glad Apollo is, you know, finally turning heel and getting away from being a white meat baby face. And we'll see what the gimmick does, because I think the gimmick has a lot of promise. Drew McIntyre has already been given a WWE Championship match just off the bat at the top of Raw, which I don't think's ever been done before. But I guess, you know, Bobby's not facing anybody, so whatever. I would have just liked one of these two matches with Sheamus to be a number one contender match. Even if, like, yeah, Drew has to get his title match that he's never gotten, still, it was cheap. But he's facing Sheamus again in a singles match. Sure, I'll go.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably go with Drew too. I think what the thing is, if you're gonna do, you know, the finish where they put the stairs on their head and run into each other, which I was fine with, you're gonna do a no contest. That could have just been your, you know, number one contenders match, and then this could have settled it. But I mean,
you
I don't
could
know.
Have also done last man standing after that finish, and they're not.
Yeah, just
I don't understand
having it just be a singles match when they had a singles match, you know, on Raw, and then
two singles
and then the end of that gauntlet a couple weeks ago. Yeah. That was them too. So it's like, you know, we've seen this already. I'm not gonna pay a ton of attention to this match, but I'll go with Drew.
I will go with Drew as well.
Yep. And the final scheduled match on the card, which honestly I think should be the main event. Intergender match between Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton. Now, if it's one thing we all know throughout the Ruthless Aggression era on to now, nobody brings the toxic masculinity quite like Randall Keith Orton. So this should be fun.
Yeah, as recently as this week, you know, Randy's up to his old. This time, though, it's fault. He's in the right here. But yeah, I mean, this probably will be the main event. I think, you know, the Fiend Bray Wyatt will finally come back and they'll set up that match for WrestleMania. It's going to be interesting, I guess, to see how they do it. You know,
I'm excited.
I'm
intrigued. I'm fascinated. I do agree.
What are the odds that they find a way to do something where like Bray or Alexa pulls out like a Soulja Boy picture, or they start doing the Superman? Because this is gonna be a cinematic match, I would assume, and like that would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and I mean I don't know.
I could see it being taped.
Yeah, and my thing is like I'm not into intergender wrestling, but this isn't going to be like the intergender wrestling you see.
No, you know, this isn't Io Shirai versus Pentagon Jr. and Lucha Underground. This isn't going to be that kind of filthy, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, it'll be fun. I think Alexa will probably end up winning because, like I said, I think it ends with Bray coming back and setting up that Mania match. And yeah, it'll be fine. I am just noticing that they took Braun and Shane off of this show, which they probably should have saved that for Mania the entire time. So
yeah, I don't know why they announced that with the Fast
Lane. Yeah, so that's fine.
Yeah, it seems like we're getting that for Mania, which, okay, cool. I guess Shane has to fight a dude he has no business fighting. So it is what it is. Anything else from this week of wrestling before we jump into 2 weeks of Raw from 05?
No, I mean, you know, without getting super into it, because I know you haven't watched it, the Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa match is very good.
That's right. No, you guys go ahead and have at that. Like, you know, I don't really give too much of a shit about being quote-unquote spoiled from a TV match. I'll just go back and watch it anyway. But yeah, no, you guys go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was very interesting because, you know, the Lights Out match with Mox and Kenny, they kind of set a precedent where there's going to be all these weapons and blood and all that. And I'm like, you know, are they going to do this with the women? And they did. I mean, you know,
they did.
They both bled, which I know, you know, blood is what it is in wrestling at this point.
But I think it worked in this.
Yeah, I think it served a purpose here. You know, they had a table, they had a ladder, had some chairs and thumbtacks. Really just well done. I think, you know, it's on the level of some of the kind of upper WWE women's matches, despite without being question. Very different.
Yeah, without question.
You know, I think Thunder Rosa has been a star. I think this made Britt Baker a star. She's improved drastically in the past, 18 months to a year. And yeah, just a really good match. Just definitely worth seeking out. For all the shit AEW got for their women's division, it is kind of starting to feel like it's coming.
They're improving.
Around?
They're improving, for sure.
So
there's still work to do, but they're improving.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. What I've seen from the women's division within the last month has been pretty good. So when I heard that Britt and Thunder Rosa had a good match, so much is going on, you guys. Like, tournament just started today. If one for Mount St. Mary's, and hopefully Michigan State holds on to this lead. Wins by more than two. We've been 5-1 today, so I've been caught up with that. Snyder Cut dropped yesterday. Fire. Fucking fire. If you have not seen the Snyder Cut, it's so much better than the OG Justice League. And then we got Falcon and Winter Soldier in a couple hours. So I I'm moving this weekend. So I don't even know, like, if I'm going to have time to sit down and watch Fastlane. We'll have to see about that. I'm going to try to catch up on Britt and Thunder Rosa this weekend. There's some other stuff that AEW has been doing that I really like. Speaking of AEW, what do you guys think about this this faction with the Revival and MJF, Wardlow? What do you guys think about that?
Well, you know, I still
That's right. We haven't met in the last couple weeks, so we got so much of AEW to talk about. Do that one, and then we got to talk about the fireworks.
Yeah, that didn't go well. And you know what the thing is? It was a good match, but even the fireworks within really the match, good match really sucked.
Yeah, they were so underwhelming. Like, that's how I knew, like, whenever this thing was going to go off, it was not going to go the way that people saw it in their head. And it really didn't. It really didn't.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it obviously wasn't good. I think they did a good enough job covering up for it, on Dynamite and stuff. But... probably not something that you need to try again.
Nope.
That would be on the best of Dynamite 15th anniversary DVD for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Blu-ray or whatever. But anyway, what do y'all think about that faction? Because it seems like the Revival left WWE to go be the Revival in AEW.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I still like them. I like Wardlow. But my reward for liking them has been a pairing with MJF and Sean Spears, who I really don't care for.
I knew I was forgetting somebody. And of course, it's the most forgettable person on that roster. Wow.
Like, I thought originally, you know, when they originally got there, they would form kind of a new four horsemen and it would be with like Cody and Hangman Page. That's who I originally thought. And then as time kind of went on, it's like, oh, that's not going to work. And then I don't know. I mean, I know it's the point to not like MJF, but I don't care for him. And Sean Spears just does as much for me now as he did in WWE. So, you know, I think Tully's cool. I think Wardlow's cool, but you know, in terms of factions on that show, there's so many of them. I would definitely still put Dark Order and Team Taz above them in terms of factions that I enjoy.
Yeah, this thing about Sean Spears. Sean Spears is Ja Rule at halftime. Are we ready? I guess not. You know, he doesn't elicit a reaction at all. Yeah, he elicits reactions from the nerds who like to count to 10. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, he doesn't do anything from that standpoint. I used to say that MJF was going to go to be the next Miz, and I lied. He's just really annoying. And then he also, like, brings the cocky shit gimmick to life. And, like, I know a lot of cocky shits like MJF, so it just doesn't make me like him, period. Yeah, I whatever. And I know AEW has to make up some factions to kind of boost the product. They also do like 50 fucking thousand matches. Like, I forgot who was promoting Dark, and they were like, Dark was 12 matches. And I'm like, how the fuck are y'all fitting? I know it's tape, but y'all are fitting 12 matches on this shit? Word?
Well, they had the one week when it was like mostly squash matches, and that was cool. But yeah, it's like a 2 or 3 hour
show. You watch 12 squash matches? Because I don't.
No, I think I watched like two of them, but yeah, I don't. It's kind of weird what they do with Dark and now Dark Elevation, because it's just kind of it's the same that people on them every. Right? Yes. Okay. Yes, and we didn't get a chance
Taz
to talk about
is on regular Dark.
Yeah, it's Taz and Excalibur, I believe, and then Evolution is Shivani and Big Show.
Okay, yeah, we get Shivani and the Giant back. But yeah, I believe you're going down the road if we did not talk about the return of Christian Cage, which we had thrown out there, but I know I had said like it'd be kind of weird if Christian just went to AEW, because to me it'll be telling me that WWE didn't believe in Christian on the comeback at Royal Rumble, and I feel like I'm right. They haven't like explicitly said that they denied giving him a deal. Maybe he just wanted to go to AEW, but I would assume with Edge getting a title shot at WrestleMania, they you know, the thinking was Christian could do something, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Christian's cool. I like Christian. You know, I hope all the concussion stuff is actually behind him and fixed. You know, it sounds like it is. He got cleared by a handful of different doctors from what I was hearing. He's already kind of gunning for Kenny Omega. It's like, after you do that, what do you do next with him? But I guess we'll see.
Don't worry, Kenny Omega's apparently, we don't know, has a title match coming up at the very, very next TNA pay-per-view. I don't know who won last week. I'm just going to assume it was Rich Swann.
It was.
Okay, good, because I can't see Moose being Impact champion. But yeah, so apparently Rich Swann has a title match with Kenny Omega, but I don't think that the folks at Impact had actually worked that out with AEW. So I heard.
Yeah. Well, and I'm confused what Impact is getting from this partnership, because it's not viewers and it's not like, you know, their guys going over. So it's been kind of a weird partnership, really.
It's very odd. One last thing before we get to 2005. Thoughts on Andrade confirming that he asked for his release. He's trying to get out.
You know, I like that he went and confirmed it, because that kind of puts the ball back in WWE's court a little bit. You know, a lot of guys will just sit there and not confirm it or confirm it through, you know, a third party. But he just straight up went for it. You know, if they do release him, I hope he goes wherever he's happy.
Which is probably Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
All of his friends are in Ring of Honor.
All things considered, yes. I know Rush and
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just re-up there.
okay, the only reason that I'll like say, yeah, he could go to Ring of Honor. Yeah, I get the friends thing. Monetarily, that's a huge step down because I don't. Fuck, I shouldn't even be talking about. Put like this. I'm not, without getting too far into it because conflict of interest, I don't see Ring of Honor paying him. So that's the only reason that I'm going to shoot that down. But if he's like, yo, I got Ric Flair money, then cool. But he's not officially in the family. So like, that's all I'm going to say is I don't see him going to Ring of Honor and getting paid whether he's got friends or not.
That's fair.
I also don't think he's going to actually get released. I think they'll ultimately figure something out for him.
It's Russell Wilson. Why the hell would you get rid of him?
Well, we don't have to talk about that. But no, I mean, I think he'll stick around.
WWE. Jesus, I don't even know who's a redhead anymore in this fucking federation. Oh, Sheamus. But Sheamus is actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sheamus is kind of... lost a wild. He feels like a good, you know, good dude who never won a wild card game. So I don't know.
No, it's Heath Slater,
but he's not there anymore.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but that is a good one. We have the Heath Slater quarterbacks. All right, we have 2 weeks of 2005 to dive through. We can just go ahead and skip over the Sunday before Raw because absolutely nothing important on that day happened. And just immediately get to talking about Monday Night Raw because, you know, we're on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, we sure are. Let's see. What do we got here? Skip through my other notes here because, you know, let's just get to it. Raw, March 7th, 2005 from Raleigh. We got Shawn Michaels here to open the show, and he's mad that Kurt Angle came to Raw last week and left him bloody and unconscious. That's why he had to go to SmackDown and get revenge. Shawn wants to know where all of Kurt's rage came from, but he finally gets it because, you know, despite everything Kurt's done, he's never faced Shawn on a big stage. But this year, he's going to get to do that. And then Kurt's on the Titantron, says issues with Shawn go back to 1996 because he won a gold medal. Everyone kept asking when he was going to go to the WWF and face Shawn Michaels. Kurt's going to accomplish everything Shawn has.
I'm pretty sure nobody actually said that. But I think that's notable because, you know, when Kurt was winning his gold medal, Shawn Michaels was WWE champion. So, good job.
Yeah. Kurt's going to accomplish everything Shawn has in his career in the next 4 weeks. Then we begin the in-ring portion of the show.
Weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's good. Triple H is facing Rosie, trying to avenge Triple H's beatdown of the Hurricane last week. Doesn't go well. But Rosie also busts out a moonsault in this match, which I didn't know he did.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I can see it, though, because coming from his family, he's got a lot of big dudes in his family who can do some moves. So I give Rosie that credit.
Triple H wins with the pedigree, and then Rosie gets hit with the sledgehammer.
Triple H was in the back and wanted to know what Rick's deal is. Rick said that his deal is that he has to wrestle Batista because of Triple H and wants to know if he wants him to die. And he gives him a pep talk and says that he'll be fine. And then we go to the back where Shelton, Benoit, Jericho, Edge, and Christian are in Bischoff's office. Says Jericho suggested a 6-man ladder match at WrestleMania and he approved it. And Edge was kind of, you know, annoying about it. And then Bischoff was like, well, if you don't want a world championship opportunity, that's fine. Hooked Edge back in. And he said that in the briefcase, there'd be a contract that you can use for a world title match from now till the next WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Historic segment.
Exactly. Speaking of Eric Bischoff, he is going into the WWE Hall of Fame.
He is.
How about that? He probably should have gotten in with the NWO, but, you know, hey, I guess it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You know, it's 20 years since WCW shut down. Yeah, that's fun, I guess, timing-wise.
Is that why he's doing it? Oh, God.
I don't know if that's for sure, but, you know, 20 years next week.
That's right. Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, it's cool for Bischoff. He's obviously a guy who they've maintained a good relationship with, all things considered. Yeah, no, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Molly Holly, who's also going in.
Yeah, shout out to Molly. I think Molly's been overdue. for a Hall of Fame run. We can talk about the most underrated female wrestlers of that generation. First name that comes to my mind is Molly Holly. I'm extremely happy for her to get that honor.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. The Hall of Fame is actually looking pretty good this year.
Yeah. You tacked that on with last year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a pretty good Hall of Fame. It's just on TV, right? It's that.
Yeah, it's on USA. Is it on USA or Peacock? I don't remember. I think it's on
be
USA.
Is it going to be Tuesday? The Tuesday before Mania?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, what day are they going to do that? That's weird.
Yeah, I'm going to film it the week before the ceremony and then air it on Tuesday.
Ah, okay, so it's all... That makes sense, because we're probably not getting everybody in at one time. I'm going to go ahead and confirm that Jushin Thunder Liger is going to have the shortest speech in Hall of Fame history. Just keep that one pretty quick and get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I was thinking about that. It's going to be a lot of speeches. This could also be a mini class. So maybe we see two or three more superstars named to this list. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. So we get back and we get Christian against Kane. Kane gets the win with the choke slam, and Tomko hits Kane with the ladder. But as Tomko and Christian are heading up the ramp, Kane sits up in the ring. And Kane is the sixth man in the ladder match, which I don't know. I mean, you look at the other five, Kane doesn't really fit in, but he'll make it work. So I think Kane ends up being in what, three or four of these. So, you know, it's fine. We move on to Chris Jericho against Edge, and we get some Matt Hardy chants, which very awkward because that whole thing's going on right now. We get a ref bump, and then Edge hits Jericho with the ladder and covers him for the win. Coach is commending Eric Bischoff for the Money in the Bank match idea. Bischoff says Coach will love his next idea. Pick your poison. So next week, Batista will pick Triple H's opponent, and then the week after, Triple H will pick Batista's opponent. That's fun. I mean, you know.
Very fun.
Randy Orton's in the ring talking about how he grew up watching wrestling, wanted to see his dad wrestle. So at WrestleMania, he's going to do what no man has ever done and beat The Undertaker. The legend of The Undertaker will become a myth. Eric Bischoff comes out, says he's on board because Randy's going to win and Shawn Michaels is going to win, and the board will have to recognize Bischoff's outstanding achievements. And Randy says Bischoff used to run WCW. He beat WWE in the ratings for 83 weeks, so Eric is a legend. Eric agrees, and he gets RKO'd.
Great sell by him here, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, he realized it halfway what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
shit.
Good stuff.
It is. We got Shelton versus Chris Benoit. Benoit eventually made him tap. The decision that you probably would expect here, even though I wouldn't have been mad if they gave the win to Shelton, but it's later obvious why they wanted Benoit to win here. This was a pretty good match.
Yeah. We got the Undertaker Dirty Harry parody, which, I mean, not one of the better ones, I don't think, but, you know, whatever.
I still think it's funny seeing Linda come in at the end. I'll have what she's having. That's still funny.
Yes, that one is great. Muhammad Hassan is mad that he's not included in the Money in the Bank ladder match because he's never lost. Demands a shot to show his abilities at WrestleMania. Christy Hemme's in the ring. Like to talk to Trish in the ring, and Trish comes out, wants to know what Christy wants. Christy's challenging Trish at WrestleMania for the title. And Trish says it's not a good idea because Christy's a bad wrestler, which, I mean, it's true. But eventually Trish accepts and says, good luck. And Christy says that she can beat her because she has someone who's been training her, and it's Lita. And Christy hits Trish with a twist of fate. Really bold decision to bring Lita back in the midst of everything going on.
Yeah,
but it's
pretty weird.
Eric Bischoff tells Triple H that he can go to the ring with Ric Flair, but he can't bring the sledgehammer with him. And Triple H gives it up, but Flair's not happy because they don't have the sledgehammer. So, you know.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a handicap match. Him and Sledgehammer and Triple H against Batista.
Yes. So Batista picks Flair apart for a little bit and then hits the Batista bomb for the victory. Triple H gets another sledgehammer, but Batista gets it, breaks it over his knee.
And then there was some, you know, post-match fighting. Actually, no, that was actually the next week, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, my bad. I got my dates mixed up. This was just Batista beating Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Raw.
Yep.
Pretty good Raw. They're on a nice run.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't bad. We go to SmackDown, March 10th from Roanoke, Virginia. You got the cabinet in the ring to open the show. JBL says that Orlando single-handedly destroyed John Cena last week to capture the title. Orlando realized at a young age that he wanted bigger and better things for himself. And they say the U.S. title looks like a hubcap that kids put on their car instead of putting into their education. It must be destroyed. They put it in a trash can and it explodes. Goes up in smoke like John Cena's career will after WrestleMania. Then JBL gives Orlando the old U.S. title back.
Yeah. It was what it was. It had to be expected. This is another moment that people remember from time to time. So
yes. We get a no disqualification match between Booker T and Heidenreich. Booker gets the win after almost bashing Heidenreich's head in with a chair.
We definitely needed that.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Teddy Long is in his office and Carlito comes in. Carlito says making him shovel snow last week wasn't funny. Teddy Long says it was, but he has a new task for Carlito tonight. He's got to get Undertaker's answer to Randy Orton's challenge. So, Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero discussing their match against JBL and Orlando later. And Chavo comes in, says that JBL can end up with all the gold, and Chavo would hate to see that. Really instigating here.
Yeah, he's being a bit of a shit stirrer for sure.
Carlito's searching all over the building for Undertaker. Someone turns out the lights, and Carlito screams, but it's just a false alarm. Then we get Luther Reigns versus Mark Jindrak, so they're having their big blow-off on SmackDown.
Well, what did you expect?
And Jindrak gets the win with the left hook.
I was going to ask, did he break his hand? Because
probably not.
He was grabbing it kind of funky.
Well, he punched a guy.
I know, I'm just saying.
John Cena's here with a lead pipe, says he has some business to take care of, and he's going to do that in the ring. So he gets the ring. Says that both he and JBL like to break things. JBL likes to break titles, while Cena likes to break faces. Cuts out the entire cabinet, but Teddy Long comes out instead. Says that, you know, John can have a rematch for the U.S. title instead of the tag title match. And Cena says it's not about the title, it's personal. Teddy Long says that he gets it, but he has to protect his main event. And John Cena says that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, and hits Teddy Long with an FU.
Yeah.
So
they're having Cena be pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
We have the next edition of the Kurt Angle Invitational, and this was one of the most innovative versions of it because it was a ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt cut to some footage of the WrestleMania 10 ladder match between Michaels and Razor Ramon. You know, this is Kurt's first ladder match ever, and he's facing Mike Haywood, who was a WWF job guy in the 90s. Kurt won and said ladder matches aren't even hard, and he would have beat Shawn at WrestleMania 10. Next week, his opponent is Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, look at that. Josh Matthews tells Big Show that Aki Bono issued a challenge for a sumo match, and Big Show accepts. So we got a sumo match at WrestleMania.
We sure do.
Carlito's still looking for Undertaker, and Torrey jumps out and scares him. Says that he's just going to have to go to the ring and call Undertaker out. So he does that. Says he needs an answer from Undertaker. Undertaker grabs him by the throat. So many men have tried to make a name for themselves at his expense. Randy Orton will rest in peace just like the rest of them. And then Carlito gets tombstoned.
About what you would expect.
Yeah. And then Eddie and Ray put their titles on the line against JBL and Orlando Jordan. Basham's get ejected. Ray goes for 619 on Orlando, but JBL hits him with a chair. They get disqualified. The Bashams come back and the cabinet starts beating up Eddie Guerrero, but John Cena comes in for the save.
Yep. He takes out all of them while JBL retreats.
Yes.
And that's the end of SmackDown.
Moved quickly. So
yeah, it did.
It did.
It wasn't bad. Neither of these shows were bad, which is nice.
Very correct.
So we move on to Raw from March 14th, 2005, from Atlanta, which it's technically in Gwinnett, but, you know.
Well, they say they're from Chicago.
Well, that's true.
In Chicago.
Chris Jericho starts.
Isn't Gwinnett further from Atlanta than Chicago? Than Rosemont is from Chicago? They get a pass.
Yeah, Gwinnett's far out there, man. Let me see. Yeah, Chris Jericho opens the show for the highlight reel. He's on top of a ladder. Says that he's going to get the briefcase at WrestleMania and become champion again real soon. So I'll make an impact at Mania, just like his guest is going to do. And his guest is Randy Orton. Randy says that, you know, he wants to leave a legacy and be in the Hall of Fame. To do that, he needs to end the Undertaker streak.
Yeah, Randy Orton needs to end the Undertaker streak to get to the Hall of Fame because he's only, what, 25 years old? Like, yeah. What else is he going to do in his career?
Exactly. Randy says that they're doing a contract signing on SmackDown, and Undertaker's going to find out that Randy's full of surprises. Jericho has a surprise for Randy. You know, Jericho's never faced Undertaker at WrestleMania, but his next guest has, and he's from right here in Georgia, and it's Jake Roberts. And let me tell you, I am thankful that Jake Roberts found DDP yoga and, you know, cleaned himself up, because he does not look good here.
Yep.
You know, still cuts a good promo.
Like, I wondered this the other day, because it was 316 on Tuesday. You ever think, like, Jake Roberts just goes into, like, a deep stage of, like, what the fuck when he thinks about how the Stone Cold promo on him built an empire? I think it's a valid question.
Yeah. No, I absolutely could see that. Yeah, I mean, you know, Jake comes out and cuts a good promo still, but just it's hard, especially seeing him on TV still and how he looks now and how he is now. It's just so hard seeing him like this because he looks older than he does now.
Oh, yeah.
So eventually he goes for the bag that supposedly has a snake in it. Randy grabs him and clotheslines Randy, gets Randy for the DDT, but Randy counters it into an RKO. So, lot of WWE 24/7 stuff on this show, which it launched recently.
November.
Yeah. Very cool service. We move into our first match of the night where Kane is facing both Christian and Tomko. And they do a good job with the numbers game every time Kane gets something going. But eventually Kane takes out Christian on the outside and chokeslams Tomko for the win. Christian goes to get a ladder, but Kane scares him off and gets in the ring and hits Tomko with it. Ric Flair is hyping up Snitsky because Snitsky faces Batista tonight. Flair says that if Batista got hurt tonight, couldn't make the match at Mania, then it wouldn't be Gene Snitsky's fault.
Lita was showing Christy how to counter Trish's kicks, and Tajiri and Regal are here to help. This went exactly how you think it would have gone. Regal took a physical comedy gaffe. This was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
Of course it was.
Shawn Michaels in the back hanging out, and Marty Jannetty comes in. He thanks Sean for inviting him to the show. Sean says that if Marty's making his return to WWE, it can't be against Kurt Angle on Thursday. It has to be a Rockers reunion tonight. That's fun. You know.
Very. We get Edge versus Shelton Benjamin. Edge attacked him from behind during the entrance. You know, a few minutes later, Shelton said that he wanted to have the match anyway. Kyoto rang the bell. Shelton was able to get himself back in the match, missed a stinger splash, but landed on the top turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Did a sunset flip for two. Edge is still getting doused with many a crowd chant here.
Mm-hmm.
It's picking up a lot more than I realized at the time.
Yeah.
Now that I'm specifically looking for it.
Yeah. Mike Chioda goes down. Edge brings a ladder into the ring, but Jericho comes out and hits Edge with it. And Shelton hits T-Bone Suplex for the win. So good for Shelton. Then we get the Rockers against La Resistance. And I got to say, you know, Marty looked good.
He did.
And he looked good against Angle, too. And he'll ultimately screw this up. But, you know.
Well, what he does is, as a whole.
Well, yeah.
In this scenario.
But, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember Marty looking good and me wanting to see more of Marty in 2005. I feel like it was kind of like the Steamboat moment. You know, where people were really shocked that, hey, Steamboat could still work. People were shocked that Marty could still work because, you know, unlike Steamboat, who was, you know, older, and that's what people were shocked. People were just shocked because Marty's just fucked his entire life and body up. And obviously that this wouldn't bear any fruit for him, but it was fun to see Marty get out there and wrestle with Sean. You know, that's a whole saga between them two. So yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they're going to end up giving Marty like 7 different chances in the next 2 years, too, and he's going to screw it up every time. So, yeah,
didn't he come back at like Raw 15 and like...
Yeah. Well, the Shawn Michaels and God thing was supposed to be Shawn and Marty, and then it turned into, you know, DX coming back, so...
Hey, that's a good thing.
Well, it worked out, but yeah, no, I mean, you know, they look good. They did some of their double team stuff, and... Marty got a hot tag and hit a rocker dropper for the win on Sylvain Grenier. So, sure, man. Ric Flair tells
Nostalgia feels. It's always good.
Yeah. Ric Flair tells Triple H that he set up a match between Snitsky and Batista. Says that Snitsky's going to beat him up real good, and no one's going to remember that Triple H tapped out to Benoit a year ago because Triple H faces Benoit tonight. And if he taps out again tonight, no one will remember it.
Snitsky, you big dumb idiot.
Yeah. Maria wants to know if Trish is worried about Christy working with Lita. Trish says that she's not because she ended Lita's career. Trish says she's going to get a trainer too. She's going to get Hannibal Lecter because she's going to eat Christy alive. Come on. Maria says the twist of fate Christy hit was a pretty powerful message. And then Trish says she has a powerful message as well and starts beating up Maria. And then it's time for Triple H against Chris Benoit.
I'm surprised that this didn't main event, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Earl Hebner's the ref, so we're gonna see some dumb shit. Triple H is guest starring on the Bernie Mac show this Friday. So that's fun. You know. Benoit goes for the crossface pretty early and often, but Triple H keeps avoiding it, and I mean it's a pretty good match, you know. Triple H goes for the pedigree, but Benoit gets in the crossface and Flair tries
Did you say Benoit was gonna be on a Bernie Mac show?
No, Triple H was.
Oh god. Oh, that's a good thing. I was going to say, I know Bernie was pissed off when he saw Benoit. And, well, he didn't get to see Benoit, but anyway.
So Triple H rolls through and gets out of it, but then Benoit blocks another pedigree into the sharpshooter, and Flair gets on the apron again. Earl ejects him, and instead of doing his job, Earl Hebner escorts Flair up the ramp and kind of leaves his post, and Triple H hits low blow at a pedigree, and Triple H gets the win. Hassan and Daivari are here.
It might be his first. Well, I'm not even counting the Radical days because I'm pretty sure they faced off a lot of times in the Radicals. But of this era of the two going up against each other, I think that's the only time Triple H got the upper hand on Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost has to be. Because, yeah, I mean, obviously, Triple H beats him in his first match in WWE. But, you know, with this run, like you're talking about, yeah, I think probably is their only time. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that really Benoit's first match? I gotta go back and watch like 2000. That's damn. That's
yeah, crazy. So they brought in the Radicals and they had them all lose, and then they eventually, you know, teamed up with Triple H against Foley. So yeah.
That's right. That's right. Nah, you're right.
Hassan Daivari here. Hassan says that it's a joke that he's not part of WrestleMania because he's undefeated. It's not just WWE's fault, but also the fans' fault for being racist. He says this is not over. I mean,
yep,
he's not wrong.
I mean, yes, he is wrong, but he's not wrong. It's weird. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah. Lita tells Christy to call her tomorrow for some more training. Then Christy leaves, and Snitsky shows up, so that he wants to welcome Lita back. And when he's done with Batista, he's going to finish what he started with Lita. Sure.
All right.
So it's time for Snitsky against Batista. Triple H and Flair are watching from ringside. Batista goes for Batista bomb, but Flair chop blocks him for the disqualification. Snitsky and Flair get Batista up, and Triple H gets in his face, but he fights out. Triple H leaves, but then all three of them get chairs and come back. But then Kane comes out and takes out Snitsky. Batista takes out Flair, and Triple H leaves again. And then Batista hits Snitsky with a Batista bomb to send a message to Triple H. Triple H says that next week Batista is going to face Kane.
Yes. I actually forgot if Kane attacked him or not. I was kind of waiting, but then I remembered he didn't.
Nope. And then we move to SmackDown.
Starting off with Kurt Angle versus Marty Jannetty. This is his first match since a loss to Sid on Superstars in September 1996. First singles match, that is.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, again, they give him a contract because of this match, and he messes it up. Yeah, I mean, it's very good. I remember it being very good, and I think it's the first time I've watched it since then. It still is very good. You know, Kurt takes him lightly, and Marty gets some shots in, some near falls, and then finally succumbs to the ankle lock after being locked in for a pretty long time. So Kurt made him look good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it was good. Teddy Long's in his office saying that every week he presents the best in action and entertainment on television, but John Cena crossed the line last week and the inmates cannot run the asylum. JBL comes in and says that he should be there while Teddy removes John Cena from the WrestleMania main event. He says he's not going to do that, but if Cena lays a hand on JBL before WrestleMania outside of a match, then he is out of the main event. And he tells JBL that him and the Basham brothers will team up tonight against Ray, Eddie, and John Cena. Eddie's getting ready for the night. Chavo comes up and says that Eddie's been a disappointment. Going into WrestleMania last year, Eddie was WWE champion, but now he's nothing. Eddie stops him, says he's trying to stir things up between him and Ray, which, I mean, it ultimately works. You know? Chavo says that he just wants Eddie to know that Ray is holding him back. And Eddie says to stop, or Chavo says, stop calling yourself a Guerrero if you're going to act this way.
Nice.
Powerful.
Very.
We get Booker T against Luther Reigns. But before the match, Booker goes and hugs his new wife, Charmel. So that's fun. You know, nice to see Charmel. We'll see her more.
This is first appearance back, right?
Yeah.
Believe so, yeah.
It is. And they made a point to point her out. And like I said, we'll see her more in the next couple months.
I always remembered like thinking, okay, well, they have Booker. Booker's married to Charmel. You know, fans somewhat know Charmel from her WCW days, like with Prince Iaukea. You know, why won't they just bring her in? And then finally in 2005, they brought her in. And as we're going to see over the next couple of years, she elevated Booker. Definitely elevated Booker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I was actually just listening to Something to Wrestle where they were talking about it. She was calling pretty much every week after WCW shut down, you know, seeing if they had anything for her, and they just never did. And eventually they did, and it works out.
Maybe Booker was too hot on his own and they didn't want to touch that, but hey, I guess it worked out in the end.
Yeah. Heidenreich's on commentary for this match, doesn't say anything, just breathes into the mic.
Yeah, that's all Heidenreich does. That's all he fucking does.
Yeah. Booker gets the win in a short match, and Heidenreich stands on the announce table and reads one of his poems. So, yeah, I guess with Jindrak winning last week and then just not being here, maybe it did break his hand.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he didn't show up, so.
I mean, if you're punching someone, like boxers, they break their hands pretty frequently.
Yeah.
So, you know. We get the Kurt Angle, Christy Hemme, When Harry Met Sally parody. Good stuff. Teddy Long is here for the contract signing, starts talking about, and then Eric Bischoff comes out, and then Randy comes out, Undertaker makes his way out, and they sign the contract. Randy tells Undertaker he's going to beat him because unlike the other 12 opponents, he's not afraid. 12 different men have tried to beat Undertaker, and all 12 have failed. I guess it's technically 12 because Kane did it twice, but Big Show and A-Train both, yeah. Randy says people are wrong about Undertaker. When Undertaker faces Orton, he'll be like no one else he's ever faced. Undertaker gets mad and kind of short circuits all the lights.
Yeah.
And causes the arena to fill with smoke. Randy tries to leave, but there's an explosion on the stage, but then it clears and he leaves. We get Billy Kidman against Paul London.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, since they had a feud and like a pay-per-view match, to just kind of throw this together is strange, yes. Paul London continues his hot streak, though. Gets the win.
Yeah.
So, good for him.
Carlito sent Ted Long to work, or rather, Ted Long sent Carlito to do concessions, but Carlito was just hanging out, reading the newspaper. He got up, took a kid's money, without giving him change, squirted ketchup on him, spat the hot dog at his brother. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Michael Cole's in the ring, propping up the sumo match, and Big Show comes to the ring, and says that Akebono will find out that he's the only person on the planet he won't be able to push around. JBL's hyping up Orlando's hyping up JBL for his match later. JBL says he has a plan. Orlando should come with him. So they go find John Cena, get in his face, and start riling him up. But Cena doesn't do anything because they have a match in 5 minutes, and then he can do whatever he wants then.
Exactly.
So, good job, John. Get JBL in the Basham against Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, and John Cena. John Cena with a new Titantron and music this week, which he will keep forever.
Yes.
Cena charges in, goes right at JBL, but then Danny Basham ends up in. And then whenever Cena's in the ring with JBL, JBL kind of retreats. Eddie does the Three Amigos on Doug Basham, miss some chaos, and then Rey, legal man, comes back in for the pinfall, and yeah, Eddie kind of looks at him. They don't mention it,
yeah, but he does kind of look at him.
I noticed that. He kind of glared at him after it.
Yes.
It was interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it, though.
No.
Cena gets a chair, and he's going to hit JBL, but the match is over, so he can't. So he hits Danny Basham instead and sits down and looks down on JBL and then gets up and heads off. That is it for SmackDown.
there, and that's the first time that the trumpets ended the show.
And mm-hmm.
by God, it would not be the last. yeah, for sake of just getting out of here, because we're an hour and some change in, I'll just say one of the greatest theme songs ever. We already know that. We're in a really golden era of theme songs. In a couple months, we'll get Batista's new theme by Saliva. So just bring it on. Bring it on. Go subscribe $10 to the Patreon. We will get the February edition of the top 25. And then if you, you know, throw your $10 at us now, you'll throw another $10 at us on April 1st. And then coming up in between April 1st and WrestleMania, sometime in the WrestleMania week, we'll get you the results for March. All that's all for our $10 Patreon subscribers. You also get summer sessions and everything else that we do on the Patreon. Yeah, things are happening. I assume that we might have a 79th in Hollis, because Lord, I feel like people need a mental break from the Chicago Bears. So let's just keep our thoughts and prayers out for all Bears fans, and hopefully Scott and Joe got us. We'll be getting 40-40 Club back up and running hopefully next weekend. I was hoping to try to do some stuff this weekend, but life is lifing. So we'll try to get you up next weekend, because I believe we kick off the season the last Thursday of this month.
Yeah, I think so. It's April 1st.
April 1st, which is coming up 2 weeks from today, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get you a 40-40 coming up very, very soon. I'm at Cameron Santo, Rob's at RobertO'Neill31, Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Follow the Barber's Chair on Twitter at Barber's Chair Net, Facebook.com/Barber's Chair Digital, on Instagram at Barber's Chair Net as well. We will be back next week. We'll recap Fastlane, look ahead to the road to WrestleMania in a couple more weeks. But for now, I'm Pierce. For Chris and Rob, thank you for listening. We'll see you guys later.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.